Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions. We love these things because we get to talk about a lot of stuff. Today's questions include the big dilemma, how to get to Hollywood Studios for that 10 o'clock park opening to get your boarding group. Should you take the Skyliner, which is incredibly awesome and convenient, but is it going to cause you stress when there's a lot of people trying to get on there all at the same time? We discuss that and much more. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And a huge shout out to our patrons. You're keeping the show going during this slower time in travel, and we appreciate each and every one of you. And if you want to become a patron to get some extra content in your week, check it out today, patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1748 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you're doing great and just chugging right along during this week, mid-August. I guess these are the dog days of summer, but this year it's so different. Who knows? I know it's back to school time, but back to school time for my wife this year means she's just doing a lot of sitting at the kitchen table. And I keep telling her, you got it. Like, we got to set you up with like a virtual backdrop or something. No, right now it's just the wall in the kitchen. So sorry, kids, at Combs Elementary. We're going to get you hooked up, though, with something exciting. But speaking of exciting, we have listener questions. And those are on a scale of 0 to 10, somewhere between a 7 and an 8 on the excitement scale. So we're here to keep you occupied for the next 30 minutes, and to do that, we have the entire crew joining us again. We're so glad to all be here. Ricky is here from touringplans.com and The Mouse for Less, and she was missed last week. Glad to have you back, Ricky. What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm glad to be back. For those who are unaware, I had surgery last week.
A little brain surgery, a little implant or something.
Yes, yes. I had some surgery that needed to be taken care of last week. But everything is going well. I'm feeling very good. I was up and moving and everything the day after. It was an outpatient procedure, so it wasn't too terrible. It feels good to be back home. By home, I mean here, you know, with my podcast family. I'm glad that everything went well with the surgery and I'm doing good.
So. I'm glad to. And, you know, 9 toes is fine. You really didn't need that 10th toe. It was really going to be okay.
Exactly. I just had to get rid of that last little pesky pinky toe. So it's
fine. They are. If you've ever seen my pinky toes, man, they're messed up. I don't know why they're just hanging on. Like my toenails grow straight up on those anyway. So TMI.
Yeah,
all right,
definitely.
We are definitely glad to have you back. So
Thank you. I'm glad to be home.
Rested and ready to answer questions. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, what's going on?
Happy Monday, Wednesday.
Exactly.
I know. We've only been recording Wednesday shows for how long now?
Yes, exactly.
Ages, I'll say.
Whatever. My eye's twitching too, by the way. I'm going to say 2020 may have brought this on.
Maybe Pam needs surgery. I don't know.
I hope you don't need it for eye twitching. Maybe can I just hold my eye the whole podcast? If we weren't on YouTube and we weren't recording so that it was going to be live on Facebook, I'd feel more comfortable doing that.
It's a mess, man. 2/3 of the show right now, we're blind. So we're flying
rough. And I had surgery. What is up with that?
I can't see because I looked into an LED light before the show started and I still have a blank spot. But anyway, let's see if we can go to this question from the inbox. And it's from Jamie. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My family and I have a quick trip planned next month, and we're so excited to get back to our favorite places. With the parks closing earlier in the month of September, we're planning on doing dinners after park closures each night. On our Hollywood Studios day, we'd love to be able to hop on the Skyliner and dine at one of the resorts on the line. Are the Skyliner resorts currently allowing guests to dine at their quick service locations if you're not staying at that resort? Not sure how they would know if you're taking the Skyliner over, but didn't want to risk getting churned away. Thanks for all you do. Jamie. And I have good news. I love when we have good news from questions. That just makes me happy because we did this exact same thing our first night. We got there, Mallory and I, Wednesday, about 3 o'clock, went to the Magic Kingdom. Park closed at 7. We needed something to do. Mallory had never been on the Skyliner. We're staying at Pop. We just took the Skyliner over to Epcot, turned around, came back, got off at the Riviera, walked around. So, yeah, you could totally go over to the Riviera or Caribbean Beach. That's the good thing is, you know, a lot of people are asking about, you know, can I get in a resort that I'm not staying at during these crazy times? And you can, but the key is, and Pam, maybe you've heard this too, is that you do just, as long as you're using Disney transportation, they really don't know where you're going. So that's the key. Get on the monorail, if you want to do the monorail loop, you know, Skyliner for that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And Disney has loosened up those rules a little bit more about that. In the very beginning, it was very strict that unless you had a confirmed dining reservation and or you were staying there, of course, you couldn't come. They're trying to keep those numbers down. But you are now, if you're using Disney transportation, absolutely able to go to other resorts and dine at the quick service locations. And let me tell you, there are some great quick service locations at the resorts for sure. I mean, some of our favorites are there. So keep those in mind.
Absolutely. I mean, we went over to the Riviera, could have eaten, you know, wherever we wanted. We just walked around. It was late at night. We weren't hungry, but we took the boat to from the Magic Kingdom to Wilderness Lodge, dined at Geyser Point with our good friend Teresa. So glad to see her. Good to see her. Got to get filled on there, too, and we can all hang out again. We also took the monorail around, got off at the Polynesian, just walked around. Kona was open. Could have gone to Captain Cook's. Was it open? I don't even know because I didn't feel that hot that night.
It is open, yeah.
Yeah, so they did some shopping. I kind of sat and just enjoyed the lobby. But, yeah, that's the key is, you know, get on a boat, get on a monorail, get on a Skyliner, and you're set. All right, a good friend Karen is here tonight. We're glad to see her back. Question for Ricky, because this is speculation, and I've had my thoughts on this, but she says, any idea on why Columbia Harbor House would not be open? You know, you got Cosmic Rays. I had a great chili dog right before my flight. I got that thing. You know how big the chili dog is, right, at Cosmic Rays? It's like 7 feet long.
Yep.
So I get this. Like, Mallory didn't know what I ordered because, of course, it's all mobile order. I just give her my phone, pick what you want, and then she gives it to me. I pick what I want, and I go pick it up. She went and got the table. I went and got the tray. I roll in right in front of Sunny Eclipse, the 7-foot-long chili dog. She's like, for real? Like, this was like, you know, this was like noon. We're getting on the flight at 5 o'clock flight. She's like, you are getting a chili dog that is that big? I mean, like, now she is definitely a young lady because, you know, when she was a kid, that wouldn't have been an issue. She scolded me like a wife that I was getting a chili dog at Cosmic
Rays. She's seen Pam do it.
Exactly. Dude.
She's
I was like,
moving in.
Dude, I thought we were down here just to have fun. No problem. You know, I wasn't going to get yelled at or anything. I got a chili dog. It looked good on the menu, you know, and she was 100% right. I shouldn't have gotten a chili dog before.
Sure, she was more worried about sitting next to you on the plane after you had the chili dog.
Perfect time. We had on N95 masks. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, come on now. Like,
you can still smell through those, my friend. They are not impermeable.
That is true. That is true. But I mean, it saves you from lethal doses. But anyway, back to the question at hand. Jeez. Cosmic Rays is open. Pecos Bills is open. You have two, you know, decent options there. Why not Columbia Harbor House? We love that place too.
I mean, it could be for a couple of reasons. One is just, you know, it is kind of it has some tight spaces in it. So it could just be because, you know, of that factor. Could be because they are trying to minimize the amount of labor. So they're keeping some restaurants closed and kind of combining options at other restaurants, that kind of thing. Like the chili dog at Cosmic Rays is not necessarily something that they have. So that's usually at, you know, Casey's. So they brought that over, that kind of thing. So it could be for one of those reasons. It could be because, you know, maybe at Universal, they're using some of their quick service locations for team members to dine because they don't have a big enough space for, you know, social distancing for team members. Could be the same thing with Disney. I'm not entirely sure. I just know that that's kind of what they're doing there at Universal. So could be that, you know, cast members are eating there, you know, so they can social distance better. It could be a number of things, to be perfectly honest. So.
Yeah, if you've ever gone in there during a busy summer day, like at the ordering station
at
Columbia Harbor House, that is the least socially distanced place probably on property. It's really tight there. Now, with mobile order, it's still tight because they kind of just made you go over to the side there. Yeah. They don't really have an ideal setup there. Now, I think, and plus there's a lot of like points where you're just going upstairs and there's a lot of pinch points where you'd be close to people. So that stinks. But yeah, it's set up to be authentic to the land. only social distancing probably wasn't a big thing in the late 1700s. Possibly.
No, truth. That's true. So I mean,
They made it too authentic. So that's what I'm guessing. All right, Michael's asking, what was my final score on Smuggler's Run? I don't know. It was like 15% left on the flight, and I was about to hurl at the end of the ride. So I don't
know. Really?
Yes, and we talked about this on live show.
Sorry, I didn't listen.
So I had done. I know, it's okay. Nobody listens to the shows. No, so we did Smuggler's Run because, again, short standby line after a rise, and I'd always been the engineer the two times I'd done it before. No issues. This time, it was just us, and it was Mallory and I and the gardeners, so there's five of us. They let Mallory be the pilot in the Chewie seat up front right. I was the pilot in the, Rey or the Han Solo seat in the front left. So I was flying the thing. She was, doing all the other stuff and got to do the jump to light speed, which was totally lost on her, which really broke my heart. But anyway, riding in the front seat, I literally had a migraine headache for almost 48 hours after that. I can
imagine, because you're staring at the screen the
whole
time. Yes,
that was the whole thing. And the engineer, you're kind of messing with stuff on the side.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Not watching as much.
That makes a lot of sense. So you are able to kind of focus your attention on a couple of different things and not just be staring straight. Ah, so
brutal.
That's the trick right there.
Yeah, because it's like left, right. And I'm like, dude, I don't even care to go left or right now. So, and seriously, if you don't steer, you are kind of bam, bam.
Yeah,
that's
true.
So, yeah, it was not good.
It's true.
Yeah, terrible score. And I'm competitive, but I was more worried about keeping my lunch than.
Yeah, that's probably smart.
All right, Matthew McGuire has a question, and this is a good one for Pam. Have you tried Frontier Cochina at Disney Springs? I have, but it was just on the premiere.
I have too.
Yeah, so
I have. And there were parts of it that I really liked, and parts of it I wasn't really sure about, I guess I will say. First of all, I loved that they had different kinds of guacamole, and one of them, of course, is a guacamole that has bacon on it. So, you're taking two of my favorite things, guacamole, avocados, and bacon, and putting them together. Hello, that's awesome. So,
you're killing
love
me right
that.
Now. Killing me right now, because I have Taco Bell, and that's way better than Taco Bell.
Yeah, true. And they had a lot of different appetizers that we like queso fundido and stuff like that. I was less impressed with the entrees, I will say. And I can't really even put my finger on it. And I will say it is time that I give them another chance for sure, because I love Chef Rick Bayless. I think he's awesome. He's so into, this kind of cooking that uses regional ingredients and does such a great job and has such a great philosophy on cooking. I am sure it was more me than him, because there's so much I love about it. But I really liked the location. It's not really a huge restaurant. So keep that in mind too. But there were absolutely some standout things there for me, and I will be back and actually need to go back. So it's a good reminder.
Yeah, I haven't been back since the media event where they gave us just a little bit of everything. We had a perfect seat, perfect night outside, and it was Mexican food. So I really can't give. I mean, dude, free Mexican food at a media event outside in Florida in April. I mean, dude, I can't even give a fair assessment because I was like floating on a cloud. So, Ricky, what do you have? I mean, seriously, they could give me Taco Bell and I'd have been just as happy. So it was good.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Pam. Like, I thought there were some things that were very good. I thought there were some things that were okay. I think that your mileage may vary, So, I definitely think that they have some winners on the menu. That's for sure though. So I would try it. Absolutely. Don't shy away from Frontera Cochina, or however you say it, and give it a shot. I think that's a good try.
Follow-up question. Good journalists always follow up. What makes queso fundido?
Oh,
I want to
no.
be, what makes a, could I be podcaster fundido?
Well, it's melted cheese.
But what makes it fun?
Oh, I get it.
That was really going for it.
No, I'm just going to tell you what it was.
No, I have a master's degree. I do understand the queso part, that it is cheese. But then the fundido, I just want to be like podcaster fundido.
The sausage makes it fundido.
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm just going to change my Twitter handle right now. Podcaster fundido. All right. Next question from Robert in the inbox. Thanks for emailing. Hey, Mike and gang. You've mentioned that you need to use mobile ordering at all counter service locations. That's not true. Actually, at the Cantina in Mexico, you had to go up and order. There were a couple other places. But what? Oh, Sleepy Hollow is another one. But what are options? What options are there for folks like us who do not own a smartphone and cannot use the mobile ordering option? Is there another option? Thanks for your very informative podcast, Bob. He says he's one state away from Pam, but he will not give away the state. So he's somewhere in your vicinity.
He's trying to keep me. He doesn't want me showing up at his house.
He's in your region.
You need to get a smartphone, my friend, somewhere. So you can do mobile ordering.
That's it. He doesn't have a smartphone because he doesn't want to be tracked. He doesn't want to, you know. He's probably actually in Montana. He's just throwing us off.
I totally get it.
But I mean, I've thought about that. I mean, what if you, because there's not as many international guests right now, hardly any at all. But I mean, what if you don't have a device? What do you do? I didn't think, because this is a good, I don't know.
You can still roll up. They will help you.
Yeah.
So when you get there, when you go to the restaurant, first of all, most of the restaurants are, when you go to like pick up your order, they're asking you if you have a mobile order. There's a person sort of stationed there by the door.
You got to show that sucker that it's like all three bars are full and the burger's done being flipped. Yes,
exactly. For sure. So they want to see that. And if you have any challenges with the process, like you do have a smartphone, but it's just not working the way you thought it would, or if you don't have a smartphone, they'll be able to assist at that point. And they're very friendly and knowledgeable and know exactly what to do. So,
all righty. I'll see Linda Holmes in our live chat. Do you think they'll bring back free dining for overseas guests for 2022 to encourage them back to Florida? Usually they release free dining around Easter time for the following year in the UK. I know you don't know. Just wondering what your guesses would be. See, I think anything with free dining is totally anything. I mean, right now we don't even have a lot of restaurants opening. I talked to a guest who I booked for a last minute trip right before the show today. And we kind of compared notes from my trip, from his trip. He just got back a couple days ago. And his biggest thing was he had a great time riding rides, you know, small wait times, got to do Flight of Passage 2-3 times in a row. Didn't have to go back through the queue. So it was amazing. He said the thing was that he was kind of surprised that a lot of his favorite dining places were either not open, or if they were, they had a reduced menu. So many of his favorite entrees or appetizers were not available. He said he didn't go hungry. There was plenty to eat, but it was restricted compared to how Walt Disney World's a very, you know, it's a great place for folks that are big diners, you know, that like to eat nice stuff. So, you know, it is a little bit restricted right now. So I think, I don't know, Pam, you're the expert in this, you know, when it comes to planning travel and stuff. I just think that COVID has to, before we ever see free dining, we have to get back to 100% park capacity at that point.
Yeah, I think that it'll be a while before we see something like free dining. And I think that even in terms of, like, I have no insider information in terms of the marketing internationally, because that's actually a different department than we deal with. A different sales force deals with those international guests than the ones that we deal with. But I think one of the things that's going to be an issue is before they want to put a lot of time and energy coming up with marketing to roll out for the next fiscal year and all of that, they'll want to know when those guests can actually come back into the country, and they'll want to know what that looks like. And they'll also want to know what the theme parks look like. Like, what are they getting in terms of reaching their ideal capacity in terms of guests by, you know, focusing on the folks here domestically who can travel and get in, and they know, you know, they know will come and all of that. So I don't think you want to bank on that for a while or other specials like that. I imagine that we'll see a few discounts. But again, I think that people, it's funny, there are two groups of people sort of in this camp, right? The people who are like, well, it's a reduced experience, so I should be getting a discount. It's not really reduced. It's different. And in some ways, it's actually increased in terms of the amount of attractions you're going to be able to accomplish, experience, whatnot. You're going to see a huge increase over what is typical for you. So in that way, the experience has not been diminished in any way. And, instead, that's been a great big plus for so many people. And there's just lots of other cool things going along. So, and then there's the people who realize that, like, that's what's going on. And again, the people aren't coming from a greedy perspective. I think it's natural to assume Disney's capacity is down, so they're going to want to incentivize us to come. But I think the incentive right now is that the experience is really enhanced in a number of different ways. So I think that's what we're looking at for a while.
And we're going to kind of talk about that on Friday. We're going to talk about creative outside the box things that we could, you know, that Disney could do. They probably won't, because they're going to be so kind of bizarre. But from a fan perspective, what kind of creative offerings could Disney get to entice people to travel this fall when the park hours are going to be a little bit shorter, kids are going to be back in school, well, virtually at least, you know, and just things are kind of, you know, it's the slowest time for the travel season in a normal year when you get to September, but then October it picks. But we'll talk about that on Friday, so that'll be kind of interesting. Let's see, real quick, Matthew's asking in the live chat, what's in our park bags? Okay, so let's give one vital thing each. And I'm going to go first because it's something that everybody has. But I am serious, and I don't take a park bag anymore because I just think it's too much of a hassle. I'll wear like some shorts that have like a big pocket, but I never, ever, ever leave the hotel room without at least two external batteries and two USB cables. I got to have them. That's my, if I had one thing, that's what I take. So what about you, Ricky? Like, what's one vital thing that's in your park bag or you have to take to the parks?
You know, one thing that I, there's two things. It's usually to keep cool. So, one thing that I always try to do right now is I try to bring a water bottle, you know, just to make sure I have, can refill it, you know, and just keep moving. Cause I can buy bottles of water and get, you know, glasses of water very easily, of course, but you never know, like you'll be in, you know, in line for something and you're like, gosh, I could really use a drink of water. And then that's, of course, the time when you don't have anything to drink. So you're like, hey, you know what? If I have my water bottle, I'm good to go. The other thing that I, you know, try to make sure I have, especially in the summertime months, is a some sort of fan. I have a USB fan, so it actually charges via USB port, which is really awesome. And I love that thing. Actually, I got the idea from Hannah. Hannah has the same fan that I have. So it's fantastic. And I love it. Now in the winter, I know we're not talking about winter right now because it's hot as blazes outside. But in the winter, I want to just throw in, I always have hot hands in my park bag because it gets very cold. And when your hands can get cold or your feet get cold, it just makes the experience that much worse. So that's the other thing that I have like on standby all the time is some sort of hot hands for the winter.
And they make hot toes. You
exactly.
You told me about those. And yeah, I wear them when I run sometimes in the winter. They just like tape right under your socks and keep your little toesies warm. You got to have warm toesies. All right, Pam, what else? What's one thing that you like is essential to take into the parks?
So you guys really took both of mine because the ongoing joke in my family is I usually have a crossbody purse and there's usually nothing in it. Yep. Truly. It is a water bottle holder and a phone holder.
Yep.
And that's literally what I put in there. I have a metal water container. I always have. I have my phone and I have the external batteries with USB things. And that's literally what I carry in my purse. It is pathetic. My husband is constantly asking me for things that are not in my purse because I don't carry stuff. So he's like, do you have chapstick? No. Do you have
Advil.
This?
I need some Advil.
I don't have this. Phone, water bottle, chargers. That's it. That's what I have. So anyways, I'm useless in that space. I guess I do carry, though, the hand sanitizer now because
I had little bottles. Yeah.
At this point, you need to have it. But that's really it. And I think that's interesting that the three of us, like, we go into the park so often and we take so little. No. Like, you
I
know.
I have a big bag, but, like, half the time it's, I mean, it has ponchos in it, which I sometimes use in an umbrella. But, I mean, really, that's about it. Like, I have, and every time, my umbrella rips a hole in my bag every stupid time. Like, I buy a new one every trip just about now at this point because I throw the umbrella in there and then it pokes a hole in there. So,
well too, with the new security systems they have in place, I think there's only three things they were yelling out that had to be out of your bag. And it was cylindrical metal water bottles, umbrellas, and it was something, there was three things.
Aerosols,
yeah, that was it. And, you know, I was shocked. I mean, I even tested it because the one day I went in with four batteries. Okay. Like I had cargo shorts on. So I had two for me, two for Mallory because we were planning on being out all day. And Mallory burns. She's, you know, she's 12 and she's on her phone all the time. So like, you know, who's going to be the one who needs the battery when they're all drained? Me, after she drained three of them. So I had four. Right. I was like, there's no way I'm getting through this thing without it going off because I got four big, big external batteries. I'm like, nope, walked right through. You know, so, but they did, they were out there, you know, informing people of the cylindrical water bottles and so forth. So just something to think about. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see here. I've never been to either one of these places, but we have a question. If you had to pick Il Molino or Enzo's Hideaway for dining, I haven't been to either. I've heard good things about Enzo's and Il Molino, but I think Enzo's would be more my style. If I was guessing. It's more casual, right? Than Il Molino.
Yeah, Il Mulino is probably more, I mean, it's definitely upscale Italian food, the things that they have there. It offers that kind of experience. It's over in the Swalfen, for those who don't know. And, you know, I think unless you're really looking for a more dress-up night or a more formal occasion, I would go to Enzo's just because I like it there. I think there's something about it that's interesting and cool. And it's in the Disney Springs area, and probably more likely that you're going to be there unless you're staying at the Swan and Dolphin. And for me, a lot of times, my location determines a lot of where we eat. So, I mean, I guess that we should probably know more about that in that space. But if I had to choose one, I'd choose Enzo's.
Well, too, in the near future here, that was exactly kind of how it was for us, because without fast passes, you know, you knew the only thing you really knew was like, okay, this is my theme park that I'm going to be in this day. Mm-hmm. You know, when we got hungry, we ate something close, you know, except like Scott made a couple ADRs, like we did Liberty Tree park closing that one night. And then we did 50s at park closing at the studios. But, you know, you just kind of it is. I mean, it's like going back 20 years. You know, what we didn't do this entire trip was like go back and forth. Cause like we'd be on Space Mountain. Then, okay, now it's time for Haunted Mansion fast pass. You got to all the way over to Liberty Square. Then it's like, okay, let's do a couple of tracks. Oh, now it's time for Buzz. And then you go back to Tomorrowland. You didn't do that. You did basically like, well, I mean, we did that show Trapped in Tomorrowland. And seriously, that Sunday when we left, we only did Tomorrowland. We shopped in Tomorrowland. We had breakfast in Tomorrowland, and we only did Tomorrowland attractions, went down Main Street and left. It was great. It was awesome.
It is. There's something about it that I think brings back a period in time where like you would go to Epcot and spend half your day in the Land Pavilion because you did all the stuff. You ate there. You really experienced it. And that there's sort of a longing I have for that period in time. So awesome.
That's why to go down. I mean, really, it's like going back in time. It's weird. It's a weird time to be down there, but it's a ton of fun. Michael Flynn in the live chat says, Mike, what are your thoughts on the use of the gondolas, only at Pop for Hollywood Studios and Epcot? Can't imagine the chaos when Art of Animation opens up again, which I believe is supposed to be November 1st, right? For art. I'm trying to think.
It is.
Got so many dates in my head lately. So yeah, if you listen to my stories, like we made it to the studios 9:59:45 to get our boarding group, 10 o'clock for Rise. Yeah, the thing about the Skyliner is it eats people fast. The thing is, with social distancing and everything looks worse than it is. I mean, without the social distancing markers, the line, I would not have been back all the way to the end of the 50s to get on at Pop Century. Also, if I had used a little foresight, I wouldn't have gotten in line kind of at the last minute either. I think you can still use the Skyliner fine to get to Epcot in the studios. You just have to be ahead of the crowd. So just, you're going to have to sacrifice a little bit of time on the front end to get in the front of the groups. Because the thing about Pop and Art that you have to remember is if you're going either to either park, you have that transfer at Caribbean Beach that you have to get off, and you got to get behind all the guests staying at Caribbean Beach and the Riviera. So this is kind of, you know, we always are like looking, well, why should I stay at Pop Century over Caribbean Beach or this or that? One of the pluses to maybe upgrade to Caribbean Beach, you got the themed pool with the slide. You have more dining. Well, right now you don't have more dining options. They're probably about equal. You have bigger rooms, but you also have that one last hop to get to a theme park on the Skyliner, which could be, you know, it saves you 20, 25 minutes probably. I don't know. We made it, but somebody else was asking, should they take the bus? And the bus might be quicker. Jacob's asking, you know, the Skyliner, because if even driving, I mean, I don't know. It just depends. If you get out there and get early, you're going to get to the studios early. You're not going to have any stress. But if you're trying to cut it close, the Skyliner is going to cause you some stress. It did me. So.
The bus will too, though, because it's more challenging to anticipate the number of people who are going to get on the bus. Yeah, even
six parties that, only right now.
Yeah. It's such a new frontier for us in terms of like everyone who thought they had a good idea about how to do it.
No,
you don't. I mean, I guess it keeps us all a little entertained and engaged in our lives a little more, right? It's more of a game. You're like, okay, now I'm really going to try and decide. For those who really want the stressless option, I would drive or Uber or Lyft. But That's just me. I know that not everyone wants to do that, but literally to Uber or Lyft over to the theme park is we're talking about less than $10. Yeah, so it depends on how important that is to you.
It's basically across the street from Pop Century. I mean, the
it really is.
So, yeah. But the thing was, like, you know, the park was opening at 10 o'clock and the parking lot didn't open until 9:30. So, you know, we were weighing our options and I'm thinking, man, if we're in like a long line of cars at the parking toll, at the parking plaza, you know, by the time you go through, you're not going to be through that at 9:30 if that's when they open the parking lot. By the time you get a spot, get everybody out of the car, start walking up, you know, it was a crapshoot, really. I mean, we got lucky that we got the boarding group. Man, we were going to be stressed
either way. Maybe Uber and Lyft is the way.
Yeah, it could be, which kind of, and they are definitely, well, obviously the minivans aren't running, but they are associated with Lyft, and now you see all the Lyft branding when it comes to ride shares. It's kind of interesting.
Well, and the other thing is, it's got to be, you know, the other thing you can do in terms of that is maybe, here's the way to think about it, take the Skyliner over to Epcot, walk over to Hollywood Studios.
And then sure. You get your morning walk. There you go.
That's yeah. See?
But with Epcot opening at 11, the only way they're letting they were letting people on that line, but you had to show like a dining reservation. I saw that they were like looking at people's phones. They would say, "I have a dining reservation." They let them get on that line, which I thought was interesting. They're running that line for that few guests, but I guess it doesn't cost much. Maybe I don't know.
That is interesting, and it's interesting that they wouldn't just let everyone utilize it at that point. So. Yeah.
Let's see here. We have another question and I just lost it. Oh, Michael's asking, what do you feel the future of FastPass will be when we return to normal? If you had to guess, do you think this is could Disney see this as an opportunity to switch to something like a Disneyland Max Pass when we come out of this? Or do they go back because the expectation with a Walt Disney World Vacation is the 3 fast passes for everybody to keep the system fair, but maybe, you know, they did the concierge level where you could add 3 more. I don't know. This is totally speculation, Pam, but what do you think could happen as we pop out of this maybe in a year?
I don't think anything's off the table in that. I think that the one thing that we've seen is that, you know, there were lots of things that people thought that Disney wouldn't be able to do, right, when they reopened. And they really took that as opportunities to show us how they could do it in some ways. And they really rise to that occasion. Really, this is something that Disney does well, to reimagine this kind of experience. So I don't think we can take anything off the table. I think that maybe some kind of virtual line makes it easier to social distance. But we saw with FastPass the way that people would queue before their FastPass time had even happened.
Yeah.
It's like people waiting to get on the plane. Like, I want to push everyone back. You should be allowed to push those people out of the way. Like, people. Just,
at least this little, you know, a little like elbow like that'll get you a minor
throw,
in hockey.
You should
throw
an elbow. Right. If you're waiting for your fast pass right there at the entrance, but it's not your time yet, or if you're waiting to get on the plane and your group hasn't been called yet. I mean, come on, be a good person. Don't do those things. But anyways, those things. So I think that's what, you know, everyone's sort of having to take into consideration, right? Human nature. We want to be first when it's called. And it's probably better to be last in a lot of ways, right? But we want to be first. So for that, I think that, you know, FastPass works well. But you have to remember that California and Florida are completely different parks with completely different groups of people that travel to them. California is more of a park for locals. People go again and again. They get a sense of how that works. And Florida has a lot more tourists. People that don't get to go as often and are looking for that kind of experience. I guess I still have faith that Disney's going to figure this out for a way that works for the most people and keep us all safe. So on the table, but I don't know what that looks like.
And people, I mean, I've talked to a lot of guests that say they prefer MaxPass to FastPass, even at 15 mm-hmm. bucks. You know, like, I mean, it's interesting to hear that perspective because I think people would say, well, I like the free thing. But it inevitably, when people like do Disneyland, but you say, like you said, Pam, you made a great point. Walt Disney World and Disneyland, two different beasts, size, scale, how many. But people that use MaxPass and just fork out that extra money, you know, for that experience, they love it. Mm-hmm. And that scares me because I'm kind of a tightwad and don't want to pay for it. But I mean, you know, you got to look at the overall. This is the biggest thing I've had to learn in the last decade when it comes to planning Disney vacations, just for my family, is that I got to look at the overall cost of the package, the vacation, whether it's a package room only, whatever. You know, I got my tickets invested, I got my room, I got my dining that I'm going to pay for. Either way, dining plan, if I'm paying out of pocket, I'm paying a certain sum of money for an experience I want to enjoy. If I got to throw on $70 to get something like a Max Pass, what percentage of that, like, am I going to come home and regret that I wasted all this time because I didn't spend $70, you know, or something like that, if this were to come out of that? Because everybody seems to like Max Pass.
It is awesome. I mean, there's some ways that it works really, really well. But again, you know, it is a different park. So I don't know if it would work quite as well there. And they also have more attractions, of course, at Disneyland, the park, than, you know, the other parks here in Florida. So we'll see.
Ricky, have you used Max Pass out of Disneyland?
I would have if I had gotten to go to Disneyland this year, like I was planning on doing in the fall. But I'm pretty sure my fall trip to Disneyland is not going to be happening. You know, I still have a hotel room booked, but I'm pretty sure my fall trip to Disneyland is not going to be happening. So,
yeah. I mean, we gotta hope. I don't think so either. But
yeah, I don't think so. So.
Ellen has a very interesting question, and we'll close it out with this one today because we know Monday's show was long. We have another one Friday. Not a long. Let's have a regular show on Friday. But he's asking, how did you feel inside the bubble at Disney? He says, when I was there the week of July 18th, I felt spoiled. Okay, so I'm trying to think about this when I was down a couple weeks back. And if I had to say, I was going to say like one word, but I would give two words to describe it. And it's... One is happy. Because the thing was, it was mostly like crazy Disney fans that were there from what I could read, you know, because your average family from Wyoming wasn't there, you know, like there were lots of families, but it wasn't just like somebody on a first time trip for the most part that I could tell. It was people that were wearing Disney clothes, people that had like, you know, nods to like Figment in their clothes, you know, or it's like, these were like, for the most part, you could tell they're pretty hardcore Disney fans by looking how they dress, how they act, how they knew the systems. But the other word I would use to describe being in, it wasn't, you know, obviously the NBA is in a bubble because they're isolated from the world. When you're at Walt Disney World, you're definitely not in a bubble. You got to remember that because you have people traveling from all over the country. No, you know, they're not giving you COVID tests when you arrive. I mean, you're not in a bubble. We talk about the Disney bubble, but you got to be smart about that. I don't want to confuse people there because you're definitely not in an isolation bubble like the NHL, the NBA. But the other word I would use to describe it was grateful. It seemed like the cast members were so absolutely grateful that this first wave of people had made not taken a chance, but came down and traveled to check it out. And I felt that from my servers to the attractions people, to the folks at the hotel, everybody just with the bell services, especially, they were just very happy to be back to work. And, you know, I was happy to be there. So I was happy. I think the cast members were grateful and everybody around was patient. You know, everybody was kind of appreciative. You know, everything wasn't normal, but it was fun. So I don't know, Ricky, what are you seeing when you look, you know, what's going on? Because you watch all that on social media. That's how I would describe being down there. I mean, I didn't feel like I was invincible, but I felt safe. I felt comfortable.
Oh, I get it. You know, I see very much that it's definitely a grateful thing that I think that people feel, both cast members as well as guests. You know, the guests are grateful to be able to have the opportunity to be there because they are the, for the most part, I feel like they are the Uber nerds, you know, the Disney nerds that, you know, would listen to podcasts like this and, you know, everything like that. Like, I feel like you're right. That's the kind of people that are tending to go to Walt Disney World right now. And so they're grateful to be able to be back to the place that they love. And the cast members are, again, grateful to be able to, you know, have a job, be able to work, not be stuck in the house all the time, you know? So I feel like, both grateful is probably the correct term to be using it at this present moment, to be honest.
It was grateful on both sides. I mean, they're, you know, obviously glad to have guests back to serve and to be able to earn their living, you know, and I was grateful that I had the opportunity to get back to my favorite place. So that's probably the word. It was fun. All right. Well, we are going to get out of here. We'll be back again, of course, tomorrow with the live call-in show from this past Sunday night. Lots of great calls, lots of fun discussion. And then Friday, we're going to talk about creative incentives to get guests down to Walt Disney World this fall. What could Disney do to really think outside the box to entice you to get on that plane, hop in the car, and head down to, not the bubble, but almost like a bubble. It's a happiness bubble.
So yes, we'll talk about that. Happiness bubble.
That's what I look at. It's always been. I mean, it's always been the Disney bubble before the NBA and the NHL and all that stuff. So we'll talk about that on Friday. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. When you are comfortable with traveling again, whatever that is, work with a great travel agent. They're going to give you the best advice to keep you safe, to get you comfortable, and most importantly, to make sure you have the best vacation possible. You don't want to worry. You want to go down there and have a blast. You know, you want to get the pictures. You want to have a great time with your family. You want to eat good meals. Trust me, I did. You can do that as well. You want to see the attractions, and there really is an opportunity to get down there this fall, this winter. If you're comfortable, you can save a lot of money and have an amazing time. So just drop by the Magic for Less, check out all the great specials. And while you're there, fill out that free no-obligation quote form, and an agent will get back to you right away. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And you can also become a patron of the show. Thanks to all of our patrons making this show possible. We sure appreciate you. And you can join the crew over at patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. One thing I'm going to ask this week is, if you don't mind, give us a rating and a review over on your podcast app, especially iTunes. If you listen on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, we'd sure appreciate a few words and a star rating over there. It helps people find the show. And we have over 1,000 ratings over there, but we'd sure like some more. So if you have a few minutes, drop by and give us a rating and review. We'd sure appreciate that. Also, follow us on the social, Instagram and Twitter, at BRGuestPod, at BRGuestMike. Facebook and YouTube, just search for the Be Our Guest Podcast, and we're right there. And hit that button so that you know when we go live. Look at that. Am I a YouTuber or what? Hit the button.
Look at you.
Ring the bell. Is that what they say, all the kids? Ring the bell. Slam on that bell or whatever they say. I don't know. I'm too old. But anyway, we're going to be back again tomorrow and Friday with some great shows. I hope you'll be there with us as well. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.